Hosking Partners' global portfolio having benefited from the recent change in market leadership towards more value-orientated stocks. The question we are most frequently asked is, how long is the value rotation runway? In this video, Jeremy Hosking discusses a number of reasons why he believes that there remains a long way to go.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeremy Hosking, and I'm one of the five investment managers at Hosking Partners with a global investment remit. And I've been asked to talk to you today about my views on the length of the runway facing the current market rotation into value stocks. It's April the 28th, and I'm here in the Hosking Partners office in London, and it's a great pleasure to be back. One of the slides in our marketing deck shows the Farmer and French data back to 1926, contrasting the relative performance of value and growth as investment styles. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy about value and growth, and I don't want to go into that today. Although I think the distinction today is actually quite helpful because of the very extended period we've experienced, really over the last 15 years, of a market dominated by companies that generally have been regarded as growth stocks. In fact, over the last 15 years, to use the dreadful jargon of our industry, there's been a 6,100 basis point drawdown in the value style relative to growth. This surpasses any other period in history. Well, since 1926, it is roughly three times in intensity and three times greater than two prior episodes, the late 90s period, which ended up with the TMT bubble and bust, and the period from the late 60s and early 70s known as the Nifty 50 era. Now, what we think has happened in the last 6 months is that we have passed a major inflection point, not entirely in terms of a stock market bubble bursting, but a shift in the component of the leadership group in the stock market from highly popular, very expensive shares to less popular ones. And of course, before this happened, there was growing media and commentator revulsion with the value investment style. On Vaccine Monday, however, the tables were apparently briefly turned. The Hosking Partners portfolio outperformed its benchmark by 200 basis points in a single day, and the relative strength of the portfolio since then has continued. My view is that the runway for this transition towards value stock leadership has a long way to run. The growth hegemony period started in 2005 and has continued all the way up to Vaccine Monday last November, turbo boosted in its final months by the COVID era on top of the digital transition in the way we live our lives anyway. But to go back to 2005, what as an investor could you do then? Well, first of all, you could buy Amazon at about $38 a share, and compared with $3,400 today, or you could buy Apple at close to zero, because the net cash on the Apple balance sheet was equivalent to their market capitalization at that time. In the other corner were bank shares, often trading at 2.5 to 3.5 times book value, which were popular occupants of both value and growth portfolios at that time. How the tables have turned now. So we are now 5 months into what we consider at Hosking Partners to be a big rotation, and one that will be enduring as we go through the months and years ahead. The important point is that we're only 5 months into it, and the previous growth style dominance lasted for 15 years. The value style has had periods of outperformance during the growth era, and over the long term has acquitted itself reasonably well, just not recently. The times when it tends to do well is in an economic recovery, in the tail end of a recession, when many businesses find to their surprise that business conditions at worst are no longer deteriorating, but at best are starting to improve. What we've seen in the COVID era, of course, is this epidemic-induced recession rather than the normal type. And now we are seeing in the data signs of incipient recovery in a whole range of businesses. So this has implications not just for value stocks, many of which are cyclicals, but it also has implications for stock market breadth. One of the reasons the market in the last few years has divided like the Red Sea into the haves and the have-nots is because growth has been extremely scarce. But following a recession, business conditions are improving across a wide range of industries. That will be very helpful to more traditional non-growth equity managers, reflecting the fact that business growth changes from being relatively scarce to being reasonably prevalent. One must also mention, in the context of the last few years, the enormous stimulus that has been administered by governments around the world, both in terms of fiscal and monetary policy. The monetary growth rates in economies like the UK and the US are now running in excess of 20%. This is growth. That is a major change from recent history. And the stimulus has been administered during the COVID period, has gone directly to companies and to individuals. It's likely then that this money, this stimulus, will be more stimulative than previous periods of stimuli. And the obvious contrast is with the global financial crisis, when the stimulus went into the pockets of the banking system in order to recapitalize them. And it tended not to reach the real economy. That is very different to the current situation, because not only has the stimulus gone direct to underlying individuals and companies, but the banks are overcapitalized and itching to lend to borrowers. And we think that will start to happen over the next few years. It would be surprising if 5 months after Vaccine Monday, all these factors were fully discounted. Although many shares, of course, have recovered close to pre-COVID levels. But it's important to remember, even at pre-COVID levels, many sectors and companies in the stock market were modestly valued by Mr. Market. Another factor is to consider is that the epidemic itself is not over, although presumably the pandemic will fade over the next 2 or 3 years. In some countries, infection rates are still rising, and in countries that are well ahead in the vaccine deployment phase, like Britain and America, lockdowns are still prevalent, and Britain won't be released from lockdown for another 7 weeks. Another factor that suggests that this value runway could be long in duration is the positioning of fund managers. Active fund managers have been under increasing pressure in recent years to concentrate their portfolios in ever fewer stocks, and they have done so based on the conviction they have about their superior analysis and abilities as stock selectors. At Hosking Partners, we think this smacks of overconfidence, or could well do. However, what that confidence level does means that, and the prevailing orthodoxy around portfolio concentration, it acts as a great disincentive for fund managers to replace the shares they have high confidence in with ones that they think will benefit or are starting to benefit from the new trends. So I think it's fair to say that portfolio concentration will also be strongly correlated with portfolio inertia. As one of our heroes here says, that's Charlie Munger, you get a lot of confidence when you make a bet on the market and the market goes with you. Well, the market has been running for many of these portfolios for many years, and the confidence that it is going to be an enduring trend is well baked in. It's inherent in a concentrated portfolio that there is a high level of confidence of the part of the fund manager in the stocks selected. And this confidence suggests that the fund managers have forgotten the words of the great economist Keynes, who said, it's better to be roughly right than precisely wrong. At Hosking Partners, we have very diversified portfolios, stock-wise, with very low levels of stock-specific risk. Therefore, if the market was to shift from being a narrow winner-takes-all market to something more characteristic of the past with greater stock market breadth, the HP portfolios are likely to continue to do well. Meanwhile, to reinforce the prevailing orthodoxy, the academics have started to weigh in. One of these is a gentleman called Hendrik Bestbinder, whose thesis is that in order to succeed in investment, you buy, all you have to do is to buy the best shares and hold them for a long period of time. Of course, one has to point out there has never been a generation of investors for whom this advice would have worked anything other than splendidly. The main problem, of course, lies in execution. Firstly, you've got to select the best companies, and you've got to take great care to avoid the General Electrics, the WorldComs, the Enrons, Nokia, ITT, and Eastman Kodak. Other than that, it's simple. And we note here the reemergence of that great phrase from the Nifty 50, one decision stock picking. I think it's not as simple, and there are going to be great difficulties in portfolio managers changing their orientation from where they are. That is less applicable to hedge funds, probably. And one there, one is reminded of the distinction Isaiah Berlin makes between foxes and hedgehogs. Most hedge fund managers are foxes. Most long-only fund managers are hedgehogs. And they have been split into this somewhat artificial distinction between value and growth. As a result of this extended period of growth stock hegemony, there is a risk surrounding the difference in spreads between the haves in the stock market and the have-nots. When a growth stock fails, it gets relegated, and the stock market penalty tends to be substantial. The penalties around growth stock failure are high. What we need to understand now is that given the spread between the haves and the have-nots, the penalty is likely to be greater than it has been in recent years. And the separation of fund managers into growth and value is not going to help matters either. At Hosking Partners and at our predecessor firm, we never use the labels around growth and value. And we've always retained the flexibility to own both. Even today, there are growth shares in our portfolios, although less than there were a year ago, as we have tended to favor companies with more bounce back potential as the COVID era comes to an end. In fact, the recent period, painful though it has been, is simply a replica of the sort of fund management actions we've taken on behalf of our clients over a period of 34 years. When we have found ourselves on the wrong side of prevailing trends, we have almost without exception lent further into the headwinds, into the adversity, and waited for the inflection point that has always in the past arrived at some point. This is what we think happened in November last year. And it explains the dramatic turnaround in relative performance since then. A final factor to consider is the role of the prevailing obsession with ESG factors in selecting investments. Once again, the focus on environment, sustainability, and governance is not remotely controversial, and good businesses and investors have always considered it. Will the investment community decide to take as its yardstick companies which are improving their ESG scores, or will whole sectors be demonized as unacceptable and uninvestable? We very much hope the focus will be on the former, as it will give active investment managers like ourselves a role in improving corporate performance over time. From the point of view of the value runway, however, ESG presents problems because many of the stocks in the value universe are relatively higher carbon emitting industries, such as airlines, shipping, mining, and other natural resources. So it is very difficult for a generalist fund manager to increase the proportion of shares in the value space without increasing the size of the portfolio's carbon footprint. So this will act as a detractor from the rotation into value stocks. It will cause the runway to extend, but the pace to slow. But intriguingly, is there an investment case for ESG pariahs, or as we should call them, e-pariahs? It is going to be very difficult for these companies for the board of directors of these companies to approve expansion projects if these would increase the carbon footprint of the companies concerned. We're therefore likely to see a material shift in the capital spending profiles of many companies in the value universe. It's going to be much lower. Capital spending levels well below depreciation and amortization will have very positive effects on cash flow and the funds available for distribution to shareholders via dividends or share buybacks. The good news for investors is that the products these companies produce are very price inelastic in terms of their demand. Shipping companies don't consume less bunker fuel, or at least not much less bunker fuel, simply because the price has gone up. The situation, therefore, is really very similar to an earlier period where the main sin sector was considered to be tobacco. After that sector was demonized, the shares became top performers in investment portfolios, providing the investment manager had the courage to invest there. So I think this will reinforce the case for value stocks that the ESG pariah shares will do much better in stock market terms than they have historically because of capital discipline and a willingness, and particularly if they're willing to shrink the size of their balance sheets, which of course would reduce their carbon footprint and generate substantial gross cash flow for shareholders. A final thought to consider, should that hypothesis play out, is that the ESG funds launched by institutional investors all over the world in the last 2 or 3 years may well not perform as well as their founders expect. In that case, there's likely to be a reaction from investors who will exit from these funds, causing there to be selling pressure on areas of the stock market which are currently considered to be virtuous. It's going to be, in my view, another example of our old friend, the law of unintended consequences. So, in closing, I'd like to thank you for listening to me today. I hope you've found the thoughts interesting. And in closing, may I just wish you good luck in your investing efforts over the balance of the year. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Please note this is also available in written form as a Hosking post.